Psalm 73 begins a compilation of psalms known as Book Number 3. Book 3 covers the psalms from chapter 73 to chapter 89. Of these 17 psalms, 11 of them were written by Asaph, one of them was written by David, 3 of them were written by the sons of Korah, one of them was written by Heman, and one was written by Ethan. Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were skilled musicians who were appointed by the Levites to take charge of music worship under David's ministry. These three were very skilled singers. Of these three, Asaph was the chief, the one in charge. He was personally chosen by David to oversee music worship. Music was a vital factor of worship in both the Old and New Testaments, and Asaph was obviously a man who took his music ministry seriously. Psalm 73 is a psalm written by Asaph, a leader at a time when he was just about ready to quit his ministry. He saw the great prosperity and success of the wicked people, perhaps wicked musicians, and he momentarily thought about walking away from his responsibilities. Thank God he didn't, because in this psalm he tells us some great truth. When we find ourselves thinking foolishly about abandoning our responsibilities for God because we see the success of those who do not love God, we need to remember in the future there is an eternity that will feature great prosperity for those who loved God and faithfully served God, and eternal poverty for those who didn't. Asaph is very open and honest in this psalm, and there's times when someone connected to David felt like quitting. Let's face it, David was an intense man who found himself in constant war and trouble, and Asaph worked for David. He saw wicked people seeming to prosper, and David, who was a man after God's own heart, was often hurting and seemingly not prospering. So for one brief moment, Asaph felt like quitting, and thank God he didn't. God is good to those who are his family and those who are right with him. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. This is a very important point to always remember. God is good and does good things for his family and for those who are right with him. He's good to Israel and he's good to any who are pure of heart. No matter what we're seeing happening in the world, it's good to remember that theological truth. One committed to God comes very close to slipping away from God. Verse 2 says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Asaph came very close to just chucking it all. He came very close to stumbling in his spirituality. And in this passage, he gives us three reasons why. He was envious of the fact that the wicked, arrogant people prospered. Verse 3 says, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He saw wicked, arrogant people who were prospering, and it almost got him to turn away from his commitment to the Lord. And he was envious of the fact of the way wicked people even die. Look at verse 4. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. Wicked, arrogant people seem to prosper until the day they die. They even die in luxury with fat bodies. They have expensive funerals and the world honors them. It's just frustrating as someone that wants to serve the Lord, Asaph is seeing all these people just getting away with things. Look at verse 5 where he's envious of the fact that wicked, arrogant people seem to lack trouble and turmoil. It says this, they are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Asaph saw the wicked, arrogant people don't seem to have the same kinds of trouble godly people have. They don't struggle to pay bills. They don't sacrificially give to the Lord. Their children have the finest of everything, go to the best schools, and they travel to these exotic places. In fact, he starts to describe these people. Look at verses 6 through 12. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. These people are proud and violent. They're bulging in plenty. They let their evil imaginations run wild. They mock those who are right with God. They seem to have high positions in the world. They speak out against God in the heavens. They speak and pray themselves through the earth. They influence many people to return to their way of life and thinking. They're refreshed in abundance. They question and mock the knowledge of God, and they have an easy and prosperous life that increases in wealth. And Asaph is looking at this and looking at himself. He was this Jewish musician who was committed to God, committed to knowing and obeying the word of God. And he was beginning to think that he was the one serving God in vain, that God was not blessing him, but striking him down and chastening him. Look at verses 13 and 14. All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. And Asaph said, I look into this world at evil God mockers and rejectors, and they appear to be winners. And I love God and his word, and I appear to be a loser. And it was really bothering him. So one committed to God took proper steps to not slip from God. It's a masterpiece. He keeps his mouth shut so he won't hurt God's people. Look at verse 15. If I said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. He kept this matter in struggle between him and God. We all have feelings about things, but most times feelings are wrong. And wise is the person who keeps these feelings to himself or herself. Some people run around and talk to everybody. A wise person keeps his mouth shut. And he kept thinking and looking at these things, and it was troubling. Verse 16 says, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. It's important to see. There needs to be much more thinking and much less talking. Asaph did not jump because he felt something. He used his mind to think about things. Also, there's something to observe here. If you keep thinking about looking at the success of people, this world will wear you down. It'll wreak havoc with your emotions. And so he went to the sanctuary of God. Look at this in verses 17 through 20. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one wakes. O Lord, when you arouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. So the sanctuary of God was the place where God's word was taught, and it was here that Asaph got back on track. As he looked into the word of God, he perceived the way things really were. It's the wicked who are slipping away and headed to destruction, not the righteous. It's the wicked who were utterly swept away in one terrifying moment. It's the wicked who caused God to despise their very existence. Asaph realized that the success of the wicked was like a dream, and God will wake up and they will be gone. And so he confessed his failure. Look at verses 21 and 22. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. When Asaph got under the word of God, he was convinced, or convicted actually. When he saw God's word, his heart was pierced, and he admitted to God that he was thinking and acting like a senseless, ignorant beast. Asaph was not afraid to admit to God that he'd been a fool. Since he kept his mouth shut, only God knew of that stupid thinking. And when Asaph got into the word of God, it straightened him out. He was convicted and he responded to the conviction. And he considered God's blessings to him. 23 and 24 say, nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will receive me to glory. God's people are continually in a right relationship with God. And God is in a personal right relationship with Asaph. And he continued to guide and instruct Asaph through his word, and God would ultimately take Asaph to live with him in glory. And then Asaph offered praise to God. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart will fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are from you shall perish. And you put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So he offers praise to God. And when the psalm begins, Asaph is slipping, but when it ends, he's worshiping. He praised God because he had a relationship with the God in heaven. Now think about that reality for a moment. He praised God because God was his only desire. And when this is our desire, God has done a great work in our life. He praised God because God had strengthened him in the moments of fleshly weakness. Any victory we have over our flesh has come from the strength and name of God. He praised God because in the end, the wicked will be destroyed. And he praised God because God had been good to him. So if you have a relationship with God, then you're rich forever. When you have struggles, get into the Word. Go to church to hear it taught. When you have struggles, go to God in prayer and just silence yourself. And when you have thought or said something foolish, confess it to God immediately. And any victory we have had in our lives is due to the strength given to us by God. And when we have struggles, think about all the blessings that he's given us.